guards and prayer.
Gracious and Heavenly Father, we have followed our Lord throughout this Lenten season to various places to be reminded of what He has accomplished for us. And so we come to the judgment hall, where there He would receive sentence and help us to reflect on our part in our Lord being able to accomplish for us what we could not do. And so we reflect upon the power of Your word this day in our lives. Amen. Well, we are coming to the end of our Lenten journey today. We come to Pilate's judgment hall. We've been to those various places along our Lord's passion. And now on Sunday, we return back to Jerusalem, where there we again reflect that triumphant entry and then all of these events we've been talking about that took place during that week. That very important week that is so important for the Christian church. And we come to those final moments in Holy Week that leads to a cross, to a tomb, and then to the empty tomb. I have a question for you once again. As you think about all the trials that you are aware of, what was the most important trial? Realizing there are probably a variety of answers to that. For some people, the 1925 Scopes Monkey trial in Dayton, Tennessee was a very important one when our nation allowed evolution in our public schools. Or was it after World War II, the trial at Nuremberg, which many people followed? Then the 90s brought us a couple of significant trials. There's the O.J. Simpson trial and that famous black glove. Or there was the trial of Timothy McVeigh. And I am sure that on your minds you could come up with other important trials. And yet, for Christians, the most important trial is the one that took place in Pilate's judgment hall. Monday, we all witnessed with horror and disdain once again violence very close and nearby. There will be the trial of public opinion. There will be the debates about those events for some time. And at some point, the suspect will have to face trial. When we talk about trials, we really have to hinge on three words, and they play very importantly into our text today. The word innocent, guilty, and free. You've already seen them in our worship service, but that's what I want to talk about this morning. We go to Pilate's judgment hall. Pilate has the right to either find Jesus innocent, guilty, or to free him. And they become very important words. The judge, Pilate. The defendant is Jesus. And the accusers are the Jewish Sanhedrin, or leaders of the Jews. Pilate, as the governor, must make some sort of judgment. It's interesting how the events of that morning go, because Pilate knew that it was envy that brought the Sanhedrin to bring Jesus before him, and that they really had a lot against this man. He also, as we read it in the reading from Matthew, was warned by his wife to have nothing to do with this man. And then there was the imperium. That's the Latin word for one who must decide death penalty. Here we are. Pilate's courtyard. We know what the Jewish leaders want. They want the imperium. That's why they're there. They want death. They knew they could not carry it out on their own, and so they needed Pilate to sentence him to death. That was the way in which they could get rid of this Jesus. But Pilate isn't ready to give his blessing. Jesus, we all know he's the innocent one. It seems as though Pilate really doesn't understand that fact. Pilate's wife knew he was innocent. If you read through the New Testament, you will realize that it even goes further. It is throughout the New Testament that you hear that Jesus was absolutely innocent. He was perfectly innocent. Hebrews 4:15 tells us Jesus was without sin. Christ had a heavenly focus. Think about that. A heavenly focus in the midst of all kinds of distractions. He knew that he had to be that perfect sacrifice, the Son of God, innocent, and yet this Jesus must be found guilty. We don't have to read very far to know who the guilty one is. In our text, there is a distinction between Jesus and Barabbas. Jesus innocent, Barabbas guilty of all of the things that he should be charged with. He was a notorious prisoner. He had a notorious record. Yes, the Jews kind of liked him. He stole from the Romans, the rich, and he gave it to the Jews. He was famous also because he was an insurrectionist. Insurrectionists were anti-Roman. They wanted Rome out of Judea. They had an agenda. Barabbas, he's no petty thief. He's notorious. He's an insurrectionist. He's a first-class killer. You want to talk about guilt? There's quite a variety of ways we could look at Barabbas and see guilt written all over him. Jesus, innocent. Barabbas, guilty. And the truth is, each one of us are also guilty as well. Born into sin, dead in our trespasses. There are those texts from the New Testament that remind us who we are. Ephesians 2:1 says we are dead in our sins. Luke 19 says we are lost in our sins. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says we are blinded to the glory of Christ. Ephesians 2:12 reminds us that we are separated from Christ, having no hope. And then there's Philippians 3:8 that says that we know Christ is considered nothing. To know Christ is to have nothing but garbage, rubbish. And then from the Old Testament, Isaiah 64, there are those words in verse 6 that talks about all are unclean. Our righteous deeds are polluted garments, and our iniquities take us away from God. If we all look at Scripture seriously, we must admit that not just Barabbas is guilty, but each one of us is guilty. That's what the Bible tells us. Sin is sin. It separates us from God. Sin wants a coup. Sin wants to storm the castle. Sin wants to defy God. Get out, get lost. I want to be in charge of my own life. Yes. Isaiah 53 puts it so boldly, we all like sheep have gone astray. And each of us has turned to his own way. I don't like to admit that. I don't think you probably do either. And it's sometimes hard to come face to face with the reality that I am much more like Barabbas than I could ever be like Jesus. I am a prisoner of my own past, and so are you. And what Paul proclaimed to the church at Rome and to the Romans, I must admit in chapter 6 there, the wages of sin are death. That's what we deserve. Innocent? That is Jesus. Guilty? Barabbas, you and me. Oh yes, we haven't talked about the third word, free. We love talking about our freedoms and about being free. Here in the judgment hall at the time of the Passover, the Roman governor of that province always could set one prisoner free. It was a part of that whole tradition of Holy Week. And it should be obvious. But it is the crowd that persuades Pilate to set Barabbas free. The known guilty one, the one they all knew about. This is the one who found freedom, who probably wondered how he could be free. He knew what he was. And they found Jesus sentenced to death. He, who was without sin, took the sin of many upon himself. Yes, as the chief priest had already stated, it is better that one man should die than that the whole nation should suffer. Imagine this crowd a few days earlier welcoming, cheering, praising our Lord as he triumphantly enters into Jerusalem. And now, within a few days, they have been swarmed up into a crowd that must cry, crucify him, crucify him. Here was justice, worldly justice. It was the grinding justice of our Heavenly Father, who sent his one and only Son to pay that price. This is how it was to be for you, for me. God could not overlook sin. God must deal with sin for what it is. And how? Through his only Son. And so this sacrificial lamb that Isaiah talks about time and time again becomes that sacrificial lamb for you and me, who takes your sin, my sin, the sins of the whole world, and he places them on this suffering lamb, making complete sacrifice for all mankind. And in doing so, the freedom is ours. Think about those three words, innocent, guilty, and free. Jesus, the innocent Lamb of God, suffers for our guilt. He took it upon himself so that each one of us might be free. John 8:36 lays it out beautifully for us. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Here is the good news. Our freedom is because the innocent one took our guilt upon himself. And you and I can live in the freedom that he grants to us. Amen.